Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter 5 tonight. In no way will this message be what you would call thorough. Brother Don, I believe if a man started preaching on justification, he could preach till Jesus comes. Never change subjects. I believe if a man started preaching on sanctification, he could preach till Jesus comes. Never change subjects. I believe if a man started preaching on glorification, he could preach till Jesus comes and never change subjects. But I want to look tonight at these things in Romans chapter number 5, and we'll be in maybe just another place or two. But I want to make a few statements tonight. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I was talking to a man, well, I guess it was today, and he told me about the church started at 6 o'clock, and he said, got a text, and he said they were out of church at 6:35. I said, well, maybe that's where some of my people would like to go to church. He said, no. He said, Brother Vinoy, your people are being fed. I'd hate to think we start at 6 and be done at 6:35, wouldn't you? Amen. I don't want to keep you any longer than necessary, but I do want to share with you what's on my heart tonight. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God and read a few verses. I'll tell you what I'm going to do tonight. Brother Don's got a great big voice. Let's do something a little bit different tonight. Brother Don, you'll be their leader out there, okay? I'm going to read a verse, and then the congregation will read a verse. And then I'll read a verse, and the congregation will read a verse. That way you'll have to at least stay awake till we get through the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Boy, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you all for being here tonight. What I want to do is preach to myself for a few minutes, and if God will let you, would you ask him to let you get in on it? Would that be all right? Amen. How many believes preachers need preaching? Amen. I know they do. Amen. I'm one of them. Glory in tribulation, in our trouble. That's what I want to look at tonight. The Apostle Paul said, but we glory in tribulations also. And the Lord let me pin down just a few statements today, and I want to share with them tonight. One statement is around the word justification. One statement is around the word sanctification. And one statement is around the word glorification. And what I'm looking at is in the chapter tonight, trying to stay mostly in the chapter, these three themes. And the Lord give me a statement. The first statement I want to look at tonight is concerning justification. We'll look at some scripture here in just a moment. But you know, when you're saved, the Bible talks about being justified. In other words, we were all wrong. All of us were all wrong. We couldn't do anything right. There was nothing right above us, about us rather, but mankind today, there's that school of thought, you know what I mean, that there's that good in every one of us, but the Word of God contradicts that. It says there's none good. No, not one. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So with justification in mind, what God does is he takes off of us our sin, and he puts on us his righteousness. And he sees us. I like what the songwriter said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. I believe that tonight. I believe that's why I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, is because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been obtained by faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's so elementary. It might be, but I tell you, there are multitudes missing that truth tonight. There are multitudes, even in Kingsport, that sat on a church pew this morning, and they believe that heaven will be their home because they've got every Sunday school pin, or because they've got a baptism certificate hanging on the wall, or because their mama or papa was a good Christian, because they live in America, and America's a Christian nation. I say she once was. I wouldn't know. I don't know if I'd call her that today. Amen. But there's all kinds of reasons that people believe they're going to go to heaven when they leave this world. But there's only one way that they're going to get there. And that way is Jesus. That way is a new birth. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. But when he said, listen, Jesus said, you must be born again. And even his righteousness in the law and in the Jewish religion was not going to get him to heaven. The first statement I want to make tonight is this. How can we glory in tribulation? Listen to this statement. No matter how bad the trouble, how many's found yourself in some bad trouble? Maybe with a loved one. Maybe with a doctor visit that's uncertain. Maybe with some kind of a car wreck. Maybe it's with a young'un, amen, that's went astray and went out into the world and went out into the far country. I'm telling you, beloved, how many's been on the way long enough to know there are some things in life that'll keep you up at night, amen, that won't allow you to sleep. It's one thing to choose not to eat and fast. It's another thing to be so broken that you couldn't eat a bite of food if somebody gave you everything there was in the world to eat and not have an appetite, amen. How is it that we can glory in tribulation, the first thing I'm looking at is justification. No matter how bad the trouble, that trouble, listen to me tonight, is nothing compared to the trouble that you and I deserved to be in. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about being separated from God. Not from time, but for eternity. I'm talking about, beloved, listen, of being ending up in a place called hell. That's where you and I deserve to be tonight. But the Word of God said, being justified by faith, how can I glory in my trouble and glory in my tribulation? One way is just to remember, honey, if it were not for justification, listen, we'd be in a whole lot more trouble than what we're in tonight. Amen. Troubles will come. Yes, they will. Trials will come. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, preacher, we deserve to go to hell. Yeah, let me paint it to you a little bit better than that. We deserve to hang on the cross. Right there is what you and I deserve, beloved. If you understand the substitutional death of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, He took our place. He took our sin in His own body. And it goes stronger than that even. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there are times when pastor's chin gets low and my heart gets low. But God said this morning, you can glory not only in your own tribulation, but in the tribulation of others that have been justified by the grace of God. Because, beloved, listen, this is the worst trouble we're ever going to see. It's a trouble that we're in down here. Amen. Justified by the grace of God. Think about this tonight. The Word of God, if you look at it with me here, in verse number 21 through 26 of chapter 3, turn back just to chapter 2. And the Bible said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Beloved, listen, I believe that's made in reference if you read Romans chapter 10. The Bible said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all. Amen. And He's rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Beloved, it doesn't matter. There's no difference when it comes to culture. When you come to God, you'll come as a sinner, or you won't get to Him. You'll come by Jesus, or you won't get to Him. And the Word of God said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. It's beyond me. I read a lot of statistics last week, but it's beyond me how anybody could call themselves a Bible believer, a born-again Christian, and yet proclaim, I believe it was over 50% of so-called Christians, that there's more than one way to heaven. Either you believe this book or you don't, amen. And the only way to be justified is by the grace of God through the redemption that was bought and paid for at Calvary through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He's the payment through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. He says it again, look at verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I like that, don't you? You say, preacher, how can God be a just God? Sin must be punished. It was at Calvary. And beloved, listen, only God. I'd hate to be presented with the problem. Think about the problem. Beloved, listen, think about man plunged into sin. How are you and I going to fix that? What would your ideal have been, amen, to fix that, to fix it to where it wouldn't matter what color you are. It wouldn't matter what country you're from.
It wouldn't matter whether you were rich or poor. It wouldn't matter if you were young or old. It wouldn't matter if you were very smart and intelligent or if you were very ignorant concerning knowledge. I'm just telling you, beloved, God made a way. Hallelujah! That a heathen in a jungle can hear about a man that went to Calvary and died and was buried and got up the third day and say, yes, I want that man, Jesus, to be my Savior. He can be justified. How can we glory in tribulation? We need to remember, no matter how bad the trouble, it's nothing compared to what we deserved. But you think about something tonight. You think about your son. Think about your son. How many's got a son? Raise your hand if you got a son. Think about your son, or think about your grandson, Brother Larry. Think about my son, my grandsons. You think about pulling them up here in front of this congregation and taking some thorns and weaving them together and pulling them down in their head. And the blood began to run down around their ears and down and run off their chin. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I could sit still for that. Say amen. But God said, that's my way. He said, this ain't something I come up with. This is something that was settled before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I'd give my son. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's what God is doing in justification. You think about how he was beaten. You think about how they spit on him. You think about how they drove those nails, and it was an art for that Roman soldier to drive the nail. And beloved, listen, a lot of pictures show it here. The hand would rip out if it was there. It was right in here, beloved. There was a place where you could drive that nail. And yet, beloved, that nail not hit that artery. You know, if you hit that artery, beloved, you bleed to death in about 30 to 45 seconds. That's where a lot of people go to leave this world when they want to take their own life. You think about, beloved, the suffering that Jesus went through. Now bring our trial. Bring that doctor visit. Bring that phone call. Bring that youngin and put it at the foot of the cross. And I'll tell you, our troubles diminish and we can glory in our tribulation because we've been justified by the grace of God. We can say, this is nothing compared to what I deserved. I wonder, I don't know this for sure, how many believes that Job feared God? How many believes Job walked with God? How many believes Job had faith in God? I wonder, when they came, Brother Steve, and said, you got 10 funerals. When they came and said, the fortune's gone, the family's gone, the farm's gone, you've got 10 funerals to prepare for. I wonder if Job didn't think something like this. This is bad. You know what he did? Listen to me carefully. You can say whatever you want to. He gloried in his tribulation. You say, preacher, how do you know that? He said, honey, you're speaking like a foolish woman. He said, it's the Lord that gives. And it's the Lord that takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many believes he said? How many believes he meant it? Amen. And if that weren't enough, now he's covered in boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. I'm telling you, boils are awful. My dad only had one of them, and it was awful. They're awful. But yet that man maintained the word of God, said his integrity. And he did not curse God, nor charge God foolishly. That's what the Word of God said. How many knows if we don't do it with our mouth? Help me tonight. If we don't do it with our mouth, how many of us in our spirit sometimes charge God foolishly and act like God, beloved, has forsaken us and God has forgotten us and God no longer knows what's best? You say, preacher, what will help us to glory in tribulation? The word justification, and realize no matter how bad the trouble, it's nothing compared to what we deserved. Think about that. Secondly, the word sanctification. No matter how bad the trouble, listen to me carefully. How many of y'all are Bible believers? You don't just believe part of it. You believe, I don't understand it all. I don't know it all, but I believe it all. I believe the Word of God. Listen to me. Sanctification, that's a process that begins the moment that we get saved. The little kids sing a song and the adults ought to sing it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. He hadn't given up on me. I'm still in that process of sanctification. Now here's what the Bible teaches. No matter how bad the trouble, it's nothing compared to what we deserve. How many believes that tonight? How many will try to remember that when trouble comes? It's coming. Not if trouble comes, when trouble comes. No matter what it is, nothing compared to what we deserved. The second statement I want to give is, no matter how bad the trouble, the Lord is making us more like Jesus. Is that right, Brother Don? The Bible said, and we know, all things work together for good. That's not a cop-out. That's a Bible verse. To them that love God. What I need to ask myself in the midst of my trouble is, do I really love God? And if I can say yes, Lord, like Peter, thou knowest that I love thee, then I'll hear back from heaven. And what you need to understand, though you may not know it right now, though you may not see it right now, is, son, this trouble has come into your life. Not because I wasn't aware of it. I was aware of it. I allowed it. Listen, because this is what it's taking to make you more like Jesus. We sing it, Brother Ralph. More like Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of the one who died for me. Let me ask you a question. When do we see him the best? On the mountain or in the valley? Listen to me tonight. I believe with all of my heart, God allows in our hearts the trouble, the tribulation. He said, listen, a lot of times things are blamed on God that don't need to be blamed on God. A lot of the things we suffer as a result of the sin-cursed world that we live in. I'm going to be able, when I get home, not in Sargoinsville, but in heaven, I'm going to be able to pick a rose without having to put some kind of a special glove on or be careful to put my fingers between the thorns, because where we're going, you'll have the rose, but you won't have the thorns. Where we're going, there won't be any such thing as weeds. There won't be any such thing as thistles. There won't be any such thing as sin. But until we get there, beloved, listen, there's going to be trouble. The Bible said, yet trouble came. That was said in the book of Job as well. Job said all this, yet trouble came. I believe there's a mistake made in the church, a bad one. Trouble comes in a family's life. Somebody else rears back and says, well, I wonder what they've done. I tell you what they've done. They were born into a human race. Amen. What would be the blessing if we just say, I wonder what our father's up to. I wonder what our father's trying to teach me. He's sanctified no matter how bad the trouble, beloved. Look at verse 3 through verse number 5. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Is there anybody in here beside your pastor that could use a little more of that? I'm talking about patience. Somebody said, pray for patience. No, I'm not going to pray for it because I know how it comes. Through tribulation. So what God's saying here is, listen, no matter how bad the trouble, you need to know I am working in your life as a born-again, justified believer in Jesus to make you more like my son. Listen tonight. Watch this. Verse number 3, tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience. And experience, hope. Brother John, I think you talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I don't remember exactly how you worded it. But you more or less said, there's a whole lot more of us closer to the grave than where we started. That's what you were saying. We got a lot more experience. And the Word of God teaches, beloved, listen, that this experience worketh hope. In other words, beloved, the things of earth, they begin to grow strangely dim. Brother John said that this morning that the things that used to be real important, if you're a child of God and you're aging and you're getting up in years and you're going more towards eternity, those things, listen, there was a time in my life when my vehicle did not get washed without washing the motor. I'm telling you, beloved, I kept it so clean you could get up under there and eat if you wanted to. You say, preacher, what's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. 4 children and 11 grandchildren and a bunch of Baptists and a Savior that's let me know it ain't real important if the motor's clean. Change the oil in it and forget about it. Amen. It ain't real important. But I had to learn those things. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you could wash the outside every once in a while. If you love me, you could. How you like that? Amen. I'm just kidding. Y'all know that, don't you? I hope you do. No matter how bad the trouble, the Lord is making us more like Jesus. Brother Don, I love you. But according to this Bible, He's still working in your life. He's still... Brother Jack, I believe, was 70 years old. Is that right? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Was he 70, Brother Ralph, when he passed? He was 69? Who said that? Okay, he was 69. I thought he was 70. But I'll guarantee you that Brother Jack would have told you right up to the day that God took him, yes, he's still working in my life. Brother Brian told me about an incident the other day. Some of y'all have been around here a while. I was telling Brother Brian about a little bit of trouble that I had. He said, you remind me of Brother Jack. I said, how's that? He said, Brother Jack said one time, somebody said something to him when he was in that mail truck. And he said, Brother Jack said, oh, I wanted to get out of that mail truck so bad. He said, the Holy Ghost said, you better stay in the truck. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, amen. He's still working. No matter how bad the trouble, realize this, number one, that trouble is nothing, Brother Steve, compared to what we really deserved. But we've been justified. And that trouble, listen, I believe according to the book of Job, what I'm seeing in the book of Job in those early chapters, if trouble comes into my life, it has to be run across God's desk first. How many believes that? I belong to Him. So what that means is, if it ran across God's desk and it got a stamp of okie dokie and it comes into my life, whether it's through my children, my wife, my grandchildren, my physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever that trouble is, God's using it to make me more like Jesus. You say, preacher, what would those two truths alone do? I believe it would help us to glory in our tribulation. You say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're... Sister Wanda, knowing what I was going to preach and knowing what the choir had sung, I looked up there a while ago and I saw you. And Brother Charlie, she was pretty low a little while back, wasn't she? She was real low. I said she was real low. But God, it hurts my heart to see people suffer and have to go through some of the things they go through. But Sister Wanda, I hope that you and I both, next time trouble comes in either one of us' life or somebody we love in our church, just glory, knowing two things. Nothing compared to what we deserved. Number two, He's using it to make us more like Jesus. One more thing and I'm done. I could talk a lot about justification, talk a lot about sanctification. There's much here. The Bible said in verse number 5, hope maketh not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What Paul is telling us here is we couldn't do one thing to save ourselves. Nothing. Let me say this. Beloved, it would behoove us to cooperate with the Spirit of God in this area of sanctification. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, we can either cooperate at his promptings, or he can make us wish we had cooperated with his prompting. How many knows what I just said? I believe when we belong to Jesus that we can be chastised. And it's not because he hates us, but rather because he loves us. I can't hardly make that statement or even talk about that without thinking about Brother Mays when he said his dad would draw that belt back and say, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. And Brother Mays would always say, Brother Don, I was thinking, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. I don't believe our Father joys in chastening us, but he will if he has to make us more like Jesus. Good song to sing, but it's a better life to live. More like Jesus. One more thing and I'm done. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now you remember over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, he's glad we have access tonight into this grace. Watch this now. Into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen to me tonight. I've made one statement here that to start with. No matter how bad the trouble, it's nothing compared to what we deserved. No matter how bad the trouble, sanctification, the Lord is making us more like Jesus. My last word is glorification. The Bible said right here, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many believes we have a home in glory land that outshines the sun? Now watch this. This last statement is no matter how bad the trouble, doesn't matter. Think about this for just a minute. It matters not. And I've been with some people, and I've been through some things in my life that were very troublesome, very weighty, things that got me down. I've been through some things in the ministry. Brother Don, can you relate to that? That kept you up all night. But this word, glorification, Brother Steve, you have to. No matter how bad the trouble, one day I'm going to be just like Jesus. Now, what if I remembered those three things when trouble came? No matter how bad the trouble, it's not as bad as what I deserve. No matter how bad the trouble, my Lord is making me more like Jesus. And no matter how bad the trouble, Brother Rose, that'll help you the next time that truck tears up. Amen. Amen, Brother Rose. He said he got two big trucks, and if it can tear up, it will tear up, won't it, Brother Rose? But just remember, one day, I'm going to be just like Jesus. That helps me. Now, what would help me even more is to realize there's about 4 hours and 50 minutes left in this day. And it could be this day, Brother Ike, that this pastor will be just like Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, help me, Lord. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear,
we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Y'all believe that? And the word of God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I hope tonight God's encouraged somebody besides the pastor. But he encouraged me with that today. A preacher on the radio this morning just read that verse and God gripped my heart. And I began to look at the scripture. How is it that we, God's people, Brother Danny, can glory in our tribulation? You and Miss Becky both been through some things recently, brother. Ain't nothing compared to what you and Miss Becky deserved. Am I right or am I wrong? Ain't nobody spitting on you, driving nails in your hands, beating your back, pulling thorns down in your head. And Brother Danny, you'd have to say, he's working on you, ain't he, brother? Amen. I can say that to every man in here because I know how hard-headed men are. He's working on us, amen. Never will forget, Brother Steve, what you said to Brother Preston. Never will I forget that. They were going down the road talking about tattoos to the youth conference. Brother Steve said, if I could, I believe I'd get a couple. Preston said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I'd get them on the back of my eyelids. He said, what it would say is think first. Amen. He ain't by himself. Rest of us might as well get in on that. Amen. Amen. I like it. And if we just remember, you ain't seen nothing yet. One day, Ethan, you and I will be just like Jesus, son. We'll never say anything else that's wrong. We'll never do anything else that's wrong. Sister Carol will never think anything else that's wrong. That'll help me in my trouble to realize, even before my trouble's over. Sometimes God delivers us from the trouble, Brother Thurman. Sometimes he delivers us through it. But even before my trouble's over, I may be with him in glory. This vile body, he's going to change it. Give me a body like unto his glorious body. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for coming this way. Brother Larry, you've been through it, going through it. I hope God encouraged your heart tonight, brother. Amen. You're a blessing to me. Sister Margaret up the road with her son. One of our ladies, Brother Don, just found out 2 days ago that her 58-year-old son's got less than a month to live. Trouble. Tribulation. It's on every hand, is it not? If it's not knocking on your door, I promise you it will. It'll come. It'll come. God help us. Would y'all say that with me tonight? God help us to glory in our tribulations. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this service and for these precious people. They're so faithful to come and hear the word of God, to pray one for another. Pray for their pastor. God, we pray for Sister Margaret tonight especially. Pray for Brother Brian especially and Sister Kim. Lord, I pray that you would help them through this trying time in their life. Bless their children, Lord. I looked up there tonight, Lord, and saw Maggie in the choir, and what a blessing it is to see that young lady here tonight wanting to sing the praises of God. Now, Lord, tonight, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And our peace would never come from knowing what tomorrow holds. Our peace comes from knowing who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. I pray, Lord, tonight, you'd bless our precious people. Teach me some lessons, our Father. in life through this message tonight. Help me not to forget them. Lord, that I might be able to look up when it seems like, Lord, that's the last thing we feel like doing is looking up. Help us to rejoice. Help us, our Lord, the joy. Lord, in another book, I believe it was in Peter, you said, count it all joy. Lord, that's not always easy. You said, Lord, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I believe that's the key tonight, is believing the truths of thy word. Our heads are bowed tonight, our eyes are closed.